So the president of the NCAA went on CBS Face the Nation over the weekend.
Why? I don't know what that is.
Okay, it's a political talk show on CBS. CBS, by the way, has some outstanding weekend programming. CBS Sunday Morning is the best show on television. But Face the Nation is
the best show on television?
Best show on television, yes. Shout out Dr. George.
Genre specific, or just you think it's the best show on television?
It is. All right, let me get super specific on why I say that. It is the best produced, formatted, laid out information. Like, you get the most for your time watching CBS Sunday Morning. There it is. It's outstanding. Okay. Have you ever watched CBS Sunday Morning?
No, I've never. I might have heard of it, but I've never like thought about it before.
You clearly didn't have Dr. Pliskides during radio, TV, and film curriculum.
I didn't. I missed him.
Yeah.
I didn't have to take him.
I had him, and he swore by CBS Sunday Morning, and I think made us watch. I think one class we just watched a show. It was awesome. It was great. But anyway, Face the Nation is just a political. They bring on political guests. They talk about political things. And so since the NCAA has asked Congress to fix the mess they made, he went on a political talk show. And Zach, it was catastrophic, disastrous. I feel like I'm on the $25,000 pyramid. Catastrophic.
Okay.
Disastrous.
Yeah.
Would rather walk on shards of glass than watch it. So he goes on the show. The first answer he gives is about cutting Olympic sports. He's asked about cutting Olympic sports. And he's like, well, you know what, really? And I'm going to paraphrase here. I'm going to actually read some of the transcript later, but paraphrased, his answer is, you know, some sports are getting cut, but, you know, the number of people playing college sports is actually pretty close to almost an all-time high. Right, because you have more scholarships now available in football. Your roster's bigger.
Uh-huh.
So you got 130 D1 schools that have now bumped their rosters by a bunch. And like, it's very easy to understand why that's happened. So right off the bat, hey, we're off to a great start with this interview. What I thought was the most interesting answer, though, was when he was asked specifically about the SEC threatening to pull away. The question was, there are leaders at the Southeastern Conference, for example, Georgia, who've talked openly about the SEC breaking away from the NCAA if this legislation being considered isn't favorable to their conference. So what would you say to the leagues who threaten that they're going to go out on their own? So, all right, when that question's asked, don't you figure you're going to have a really good answer ready if you're the president of the NCAA?
I mean, you got to think that's the thing you want to happen least.
Yeah.
And you got to think that's the thing that, like, I would think that's why you would go on a show. Is to be able to say, no, here's why the SEC doesn't need to leave the NCAA. Yeah, so what does he say?
Here's his answer, verbatim. Well, they'll have a hard time running national championships if they do that, because everybody won't have the same rules. It's kind of the point. If that's the cannonball you're lobbing over the other side, that cannonball is a BB.
Yeah.
That's nothing. Okay. The conference championship is the national championship. The SEC championship is the... Am I overreacting to this? Is this not as ludicrous an answer as I think it is?
I mean, given the context that I have, no, that seems pretty ridiculous. You know, anytime you're a governing body or anytime you're anyone that manages people or institutions or groups, in this case, you have to offer value. Whether that value is money in the form of compensation, whether it's support, whether it's leadership or guidance, whether it's answers.
Yeah.
You have to offer something. Yeah. And just saying, hey, we can run the NCAA tournaments for you isn't enough anymore. Nope. It's not. It's not. And especially when a lot of this conversation is the trickle-down effect of football, and you don't run that one. Like, you don't run the main one. Now, the NCAA tournament makes a crap ton of money and all that, but I still think, Brad, there's a way you could leave and then contract out an agreement where the outside conferences can do something with the NCAA tournament. Because why would the NCAA say no to that? Why would the NCAA not want, you know, all of these massive brands in it? So you need help running national championships. Like, no, you don't. Like, the college football playoff is incredible. It's incredible. And to think you just couldn't do that across the board, like, I don't, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Can I give you verbatim his next sentence?
Sure.
Word for word, the next sentence. I actually like and respect a lot of the people at Georgia in particular, and at Ole Miss, and at LSU, and at a whole bunch of those schools who I deal with on a pretty regular basis. That's just weird for the president of the NCAA to name drop three schools and three schools only. Why is he doing that? That's so weird. This is on a national television show. This is on a nationally relevant, I mean, that's subjective, I guess, but you've made the decision to go on CBS on their major political talk show, and you're going to name drop three schools. He was asked about Georgia specifically. He wasn't asked about LSU.
Why was he asked about Georgia?
Well, in the question about conferences breaking away, they reference, Ed O'Keefe did the interview, and he referenced the president and athletic director at Georgia talking about breaking away.
Got it.
So that one, at least I can draw a tie to, but he didn't mean it. No reason to bring up LSU or Ole Miss. He goes on to say, I think the possibility of trying to figure out some way to determine what really has to be a national standard to have national championships and what you probably could do at a conference level, because it doesn't, you know, necessarily affect our ability to run national championships on a level playing field, could be one way to think about it. Dear God, that's one sentence. That's the former governor of a state in our country who's now the president of the NCAA, giving just run-on sentence answer after run-on sentence answer.
I mean, he's got to have a PR person that's like, what are you doing?
How much
did they not prep him?
No.
Yeah.
By the way, it was all like all of the answers. This is a 24-minute interview. I've watched the whole thing. And so much of it is, do you know those people who speak like Pac-Man runs in the game? Like, they start up, and then really what they want, because it's never about putting the, they try really hard, but they can't put the punctuation mark on the sentence.
Your internet.
They have about four false starts before they do
it. Your internet falling apart during that was like perfect timing.
Yeah. Well, he does that through the whole 24-minute interview.
Does what?
It's just a bad look.
I couldn't hear you. Do it again. He does
what? Oh, it didn't go out? Man, it's such a good bit. I thought it was really a good bit. It didn't go through. No, people who talk like Pac-Man, they like change directions four times before they finally put punctuation on the sentence. You know?
So I gotcha.
It's like, yeah, it's the whole interview was like that.
It's like the Michael Scott quote where it's like, sometimes I start a sentence and I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. The answer in particular about what you would say to conferences that want to go out on their own, he ends it talking about something completely different. He starts talking about how they have, since he got there, like he goes into CYA mode. He talks about how since he got there, you know, committees that used to have 50 people now have 20. They got rid of about 80 committees. You know, like he's just talking about the efficiencies within the NCAA.
Right.
He's trying to, I guess, talk about the value of having the NCAA and how they can do things well. It's just a really bad look. Like, folks go out and find it and watch it and tell me, am I making too much of that? Because I come away from that interview saying, oh, they totally have a Sbarro. And I'll explain what I mean by that after we tell you about our good friends at Precision Tune Auto Care.
Yes, beat the heat.
If you haven't been by there yet, you're not beating the heat.
Woo!
Friends, the heat is beating you. Don't let the heat beat you. Beat the heat. Free AC performance evaluation, free vent temperature analysis, free system pressure test. And if they check and see that you need a repair, they give you $50 off anything over $300. Pepperell Parkway, Opelika, they're open at 7 o'clock in the morning. Our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. And I had a question yesterday about, or the comment on the show yesterday, asking about your email address because they have financial questions for you, Zach.
Yes. Parker. Yes, now part of the team under Ford Stokes at Active Wealth. My email is zach@activewealth.com. You can feel free to reach out about anything. We actually spent a lot of time talking with Ford yesterday, and just, you know, all of the products that are offered through Active Wealth are like, the math behind them is insane. So as far as like making your own personal pensions or just making sure that you have income set up for the rest of your life, not having to worry about retirement, as well as, I mean, Ford can do the whole assets under management and manage your money and wealth for you as well. So feel free to reach out to us. Yeah, zach@activewealth.com, or you can just hop on Ford's calendar, calendly.com/Ford Stokes. Would happy to meet with you if you want me to be a part of that as well. But yeah, reach out, zach@activewealth.com.
Zach's been watching Margin Call and The Big Short. Like, he's going to be in a suit and tie pretty soon. And
yeah,
it's going to be, it's going to be something to watch that transformation.
You think? Yeah, I think we're in the midst of it right now.
Well, we are. Yeah. No, people are asking. People have asked me low key, why is Zach wearing an Active Wealth shirt every day on the show?
Like, why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Why not? It's
pretty smart marketing. Smart marketing, if you ask me.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of smart marketing. So for folks watching who maybe were not born in the 20th century, I want to take you back in time and tell you about this cultural phenomenon we used to have in this country. We used to have these things called malls, and it was a crazy thing, Zach. You're never going to believe it. So giant buildings, and within these giant buildings, you had these different stores. They shared walls, but they were each their own little individual cranny within the larger property. We called them shopping malls back in the ancient days. And they had food courts. And typically in the food court, there was a Chinese restaurant. And a lot of other things were there as well. Some fancy malls even had merry-go-rounds in the middle of them.
That's true. That did happen.
But every mall in the history of the United States had a Sbarro.
That's not true, but a lot of them did.
It is true, 100% of them. Look up mallfacts.gov, and you'll find that there's a Sbarro in 100% of malls that ever existed. Now, I never saw a standalone Sbarro, and I never thought to myself, when not in a mall, I'd really love to have some Sbarro pizza right now. But man, anytime I walked into a mall and I saw it, I wanted that slice of Sbarro.
Okay.
Malls don't exist anymore. They've served their purpose. I mean, there's some still around, but like they're hanging on. There's not much in them. There's a lot of signage covering sheetrock now.
Right.
The NCAA is a shopping mall.
Okay.
The time is almost completely done.
Sure.
It's almost over.
Right.
They're hanging on. And some stores are still there, but like those stores that are still in the mall could absolutely survive as standalone stores.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the kiosk that, you know, is in the middle with the airbrush t-shirts, but I'm talking about the standalone brands. They're fine on their own.
Yeah, the jewelry stores that are in there, some of the clothing stores that are in there.
Yeah. The Bath and Body Works, inevitably, that's, you know, that used to be a huge staple in a mall.
It's probably the longest thing in our mall.
Yeah, the one in Auburn, you're right. But even they opened up a location elsewhere. Like, they're moving away. The stores are moving away from the malls. Pretty soon, the conferences are going to move away from the NCAA. It's just a matter of time. So what happens is, whether it's the SEC or the Big Ten, somebody acts first. And the only, like, impedance to that is the NCAA going, well, how are you going to determine a national championship? And the SEC will say, watch us. Watch us determine our own champion. And as many people watch the SEC playoff as watch everybody else in the playoff. It'll be an equal audience. It's and, not or. It'll be an equal audience. And then the Big Ten will do the same thing. Or the Big Ten will act first, and then the SEC will do the same thing.
Or do the Big Ten and the SEC both break apart, and they're contracted with each other, and the winner of the SEC and the winner of the Big Ten play for a national championship?
That ultimately is the result.
That's literally like early days AFL and NFL.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
That is the path we're on. If you're walking into a mall today going, nah, man, these are going to come back. Someday, all these stores are going to be full again. That's not reality. If you're watching the NCAA right now and you're saying, nope, they're going to figure this out. Everything's going to be cohesive. They're going to get the bull out of the china shop, fix all the plates, and everything will be good. Nope. It's the same.
Right.
Yeah. Either one of the two leagues break away first, then the other joins, or they both break away at the same time and immediately unify. But that is where we're headed. We're headed toward an SEC, Big Ten, AFC, NFC conglomerate, and it'll be massive, and they'll make their own rules. And it's not, this is,
and,
like,
and Brad, like, the biggest argument for me is the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Who's to say the SEC and the Big Ten couldn't put together a committee and, like, all right, this is the basketball. It's the exact same format, and we will extend offers to schools outside of our conferences if you want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you do that?
Of course you could. But I would say even if you couldn't, you know, I miss the carousel in the middle of the mall. But it was a function of the thing just going away. You know, I liked going into a video store. Let me tell you about a bygone era. We used to have these things called video stores. And you would go in, and the wall, like if you wanted to watch a movie, you didn't just click a button. But the wall had, you know, 50 copies of every new release movie. Mm-hmm. You had to get there early enough or all 50 would be gone. But, okay, anyway, enough of that. That bit. I liked that experience. I loved going in and the adrenaline rush. Is it here? Oh, it's not here. I got to find something else.
Yeah.
I like that. I like taking it to the counter and paying for the rental and having to bring it back 24 hours later. Like, I like that. But you know what? Its time has passed. Okay. We will lose some of the stuff that we like because that's what happens sometimes. So, I don't know. Even if you can't salvage the six, or maybe you, I don't know. Maybe we find some way to get it back to 64 teams for a postseason tournament. Yeah. I just don't think that's the big hurdle that Charlie Baker was hoping it would be. I don't think it landed like, I don't think Greg Sankey watched that interview and go, oh, man, we got to reverse course. How in the world are we going to determine national champions?
Well, some of it's like decision-making, too. Like, if you're going to put yourself in that situation and look like a fool and look incompetent and not have answers ready for the most basic questions that you know are coming.
Yeah.
that's probably not somebody who needs to be leading all of this anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the big takeaway.
This hardly know her.
This is the president. This is the face of your organization. This is your leader.
Mm.
And Greg Sankey had to watch that and go, okay.
You know, he's texting with the other commissioners being like, you know, they just can't stand him. You know, they just can't stand him.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be a big thing for immediate
days.
It's
worth a
watch for a couple of weeks. Your internet is hanging on by a thread. Oh. Let's wrap this up. Like, you are on life support right now.
And it looks fine on mine. By the way, I'm going.
You do this all the time, Brad. I know how it looks on your end. I get it.
All right. I'm going today. My only question is, like, I've got all these floppy disks that I have stuff stored on, and I'm not sure.
You only do that because you know it makes me legitimately angry. Everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.